we can go back to Men of God and... You're right. Backwards, yeah. Okay, so we've got other examples of people who had why moments in their lives. We've got Abraham. He was told to sacrifice Isaac. He must have been asking why, because Isaac was the long-promised son, the heir that he had been waiting for. I mean, he'd only been waiting 20 years for this promise to come through. And then Isaac was the one who God's promise was to be fulfilled through, that he was going to become the father of many nations. Why sacrifice him? Job, with all his trials. Everyone, well, most people know about him. We have the popular phrase, the patience of Job. Job, he couldn't see into heaven, so when everything got lost, he lost everything in pretty much one day. And to him it would have been, well, why? There was no reason he could see. And then he had his wonderful friends who came, and their idea of comforting him wasn't very positive. We had David, who had Saul trying to kill him for years. He was chasing him around all over Israel. And what did David do? He had done nothing except serve Saul faithfully as a soldier, as a personal attendant when he played his harp to him. He had his affair with Bathsheba, and he asked, why did he lose the baby? He repented, but the baby still paid the price and died. Jeremiah, as we read about in Lamentations just then, but he served God for 40, I think it was 40 years, as one of his prophets, preaching to the people of Judah. And there were times when he cried out, why did you choose me? No one's listening. I mean, you're preaching for 40 years and no one listens. His friends turned their backs on him. His family were, I think they thought he was mad. I know some of the things he was asked to do would have seemed pretty crazy. He wasn't allowed to marry. Then you have Jairus in the New Testament. Why did his daughter die? We read about him in Matthew, where he comes up to Jesus and it says, can you please heal my daughter? We don't know much about her except she was young. It didn't say that she was ill or anything beforehand or had some sort of terminal disease, so she must have been in decent sort of health. And the fact that Jairus came looking for Christ shows that she was loved by her parents. So why did she have to die? And Paul, well, we read about him. He made how many visits to prison? He went there so many times, and then he was in I think house arrest in Rome for several years. Why? There was, when he went around on his missionary journeys, there were so many people that he reached, he taught, he planted churches. Why be cooped up in Rome under house arrest for so long? There's so many more places he could have gone that he wanted to go, but he didn't get to. So do we always get an answer? Well, can we move to the next slide? We don't always get an answer. We don't always get told why, but we do get asked just to trust God because he's got it all under control. Sometimes we get an answer, but it might not always seem the type of answer we were exactly looking for. It doesn't seem to answer the why question. So like with the people about that we just looked at with Abraham, he actually got an answer. He got told that it was a test of faith, and because of his faith he got called a friend of God, because he showed that he was willing to hold nothing back. He was willing to give everything to God and trust him. Job, he didn't get an answer as to why he lost everything. He got things restored to him. He got more children. He got his wealth back. He actually got it doubled. But at the end, when he has that question and answer time with God, he actually got to, before he worshipped, I mean, he worshipped God before, but now he actually got to know God in a really new way, in a personal way. And that's something that he wouldn't have actually gotten or got to do, I guess, if he'd just been left alone to live his life as it was before. David, he didn't always get an answer as to why, but through it all, God helped him. God helped him in his walk with God. God helped him in his walk of faith. And he actually became, he got called a man after God's own heart because he always sought God first. Jeremiah, well, he got an answer. He got told he wasn't allowed to get married, and he got told to do all these things. He got told he was chosen from the time he was conceived, which would be pretty, it'd be interesting to be told that by God. I chose you right from the moment you were thought conceived. But it was to, because of how far off track Judah had gone, he got told, well, this is why you're not getting married, this is why this is happening, because I am going to bring judgment. So he got to see, I guess, the extent of God's power, because also God told him, no one is going to be able to hurt you. And no one did. He was even treated favorably by the Babylonians when they invaded. And he got, but through it all, he learned to trust God. He cried out. He was depressed at times, but he trusted God. Jairus. Well, he didn't really get any sort of answer, but he did get his daughter back. His daughter was restored to him. And I don't know, he had faith. He knew that Christ could heal his daughter. And he was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. So we're not actually told, but hopefully from that experience, hopefully he grew in faith. And actually, well, I hope he trusted Christ afterwards, because he got a pretty good demonstration of God's power. And Paul, he'd been warned that his walk was not going to be easy. He'd gone around, he'd made life pretty hard for Christians to start with, and at the end, he didn't, I mean, he never had an easy time of it. He only got stoned, flogged, put in jail, as we know, all these other sorts of things. But all these trials kept him close to God. He relied on God so much and walked so close. And even with his time of going into jail, there was a time where he led a jailer and his whole family, or household, we're told, to Christ. So even the times in jail, I think at one in one of them he was even leading songs of praise, and everyone just hung around and listened. Not that half of them were going anywhere. But the incarceration in Rome, it allowed him to write all these letters that he wrote to the different churches, and we still read them today in the Bible, which is a really good answer. I mean, he had lots of time to do writing, and so he used it and used it well, and today we still learn from it. And if we move to the next slide. I was hoping the clicker would work today, but oh well. That's the way it goes. So, the next slide. There was, like for Amy and I recently, we had a why. And the why was, why move here? We're at Billow. Amy had settled well. She had lots of close friends. She was quite happy there. I had a good job there. And it was, I knew my job in and out pretty well, so it was a pretty cruisy sort of a deal. We were comfortable. Why move? We didn't have any desire to. Livy still got the little picture of the house that we lived in there, and wonders what's happening with her little brick home. But we did get answers. There were areas of my life that needed working on, and it really got highlighted when we moved here. There was a couple of, the Good to Great Father course, which I got recommended to me, and it was really good, and it really did point out a lot of things that where I did need to improve. We, being away from everyone else that we knew at the time, we actually got to sort out a few things, and also it, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but God sort of gave me a heads up as to where he wanted me to actually direct my path, because for years I've been wondering, okay, God, I'm sick of accounting, I'm tired of accounting, I don't know what I want to do. It took a few years for him to finally get my attention, and now I'm studying to become a pastor. So it was only after we moved that he was able to finally get my attention. And it was quite an interesting reaction, because it was not a job I'd ever or a career that I'd ever really wanted to do, which is kind of funny. But if we move back to Psalm 42, the psalmist, so if we move to the next slide, the psalmist had a lot of why questions. And from, if you just recall what I read before, it sounded pretty bleak. Like he described some pretty, I'll just pull up a couple. Like he was saying, when shall I come up here? My tears have been my food day and night. He recalled different things that he had done. He said about his enemies taunting him. So he had it was not exactly a very bright and cheery sort of psalm to read. But then verse 11, right at the end, even though there's been all that why and all the bleakness, the psalmist is able to end it on a positive note. He says that I have hope in God. I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So no matter what he was facing, even though he faced some pretty depressing times or pretty why sort of times, why is this happening? He's able to acknowledge that God is in control and God, he can still praise God. And the same with Lamentations. The whole first part of that reading, Jeremiah is really describing a very sad sort of outlook. He's basically asking, why is everything happening? Why am I going through all this? I'm going through some pretty rough times, pretty hard times. God seems to be against me. No one really likes me. Why am I going through all this? Why am I still doing this? But then at the end of the reading, in verses 21 to 26, where he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And then at the end, he says, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So he can, even though he's described a lot of why, a lot of down and dark sort of times, he's able to end and say, yes, I can still praise God. God is my hope. In him I have hope. And he gives God praise. Yeah, if we just want to scroll through that. So yeah, he struggled with why God called him. And then, if we move to the next slide, our hope. I know for a lot of us, this year has not been the easiest sort of year. There's a few of us who are looking for work, a few of us who things are just really tight. There might be different reasons why we might be asking why. Why are we going through this? Why is this happening? How come it can't be a bit easier? And there's a new year, as we know. It's only, it's still a couple of weeks away, but it's getting closer. And sort of wonder where this year has gone at times. It's gone too quick. But just as the new year is around the corner, hope is always there. It's never far away. As we've read in these passages, even though things might be tough, things might be hard, we've got hope. It's right there. All we have to do is just turn to God, and he will help us. A couple of passages which I found, we've got Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And Psalm 131, verse 3. Where is it? O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So We do have hope. It's God is able to. God provides us with the hope, as long as we just trust in Him and have faith. He's able to do so much and do all things. So even though, if we move to the next slide. So yeah, we all go through times of questioning why. We all go through those periods of hardship. And it's nothing new. Thankfully, God allowed in the Bible for these people who were held up as really strong people of faith. They struggled. They still had whys. They still went through, well, as you read through the Bible, you'll see all the different misadventures that some of them had and the things they did. They were still human. They were still just like us. They had struggles. But they had hope. And so can we. I think there's that song, "Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, than the blood of Jesus Christ." Or anyway, words to that effect. But during those times of struggle, it can be a time to get to know God better. Like with Job, how he struggled with everything, but at the end, he got to know God really, really well in a totally new way. So we can. Struggles have a way of either making us better people or bitter people. And hopefully, we'll go for the better people and be the stronger in our faith. So, just to finish, whether you're in a time of why, or even as we enter a new year, we need to remember what our source of hope is built on, or look at what we're hoping in. Hoping in ourselves, or hoping in things that we can see, is not really any hope at all. Okay, I'd just like to close in prayer now. Father God, we just come to you now, and Lord, we thank you for the hope that we do have in you. Lord, I don't know everyone's situation here, but what I do know, Lord, is that you are there. If we turn to you, you will help us. You will give us the hope that we need. And you're always willing to. Lord, we thank you for this new year that is coming up. We thank you for the year that is past. And Lord, I just pray that in this new year that we will walk closer with you, that we will be stronger in our faith in you, and that we will let you direct us through life. Lord, I just pray this now and just do truly give you thanks that you are our source of hope. Amen.